After an investigation by Disability Rights Oregon of the conditions in the Oregon State Penitentiary Behavioral Health Unit, Disability Rights Oregon entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Oregon Department of Corrections to improve conditions at the prison. In its first annual report on the agreement, Disability Rights Oregon says that Oregon's most seriously mentally ill prisoners continue to be held in solitary confinement. I'm speaking with Joel Greenberg, the attorney with Disability Rights Oregon, responsible for this report, Behind the 11th Door, 1 year later. Joel, what is the Behavioral Health Unit at the Oregon State Penitentiary, and how many prisoners are in this unit?
The Behavioral Health Unit normally contains or houses about 40 different men. It's a male-only unit, and it's a unit that was designed to take prisoners most severely impacted by mental illness within the entire ODOC population and put them into one unit where they could get some clinical support and learn some skills that would help them moderate their behavior, which had made them unable to navigate and exist safely within other units in the prison system.
And you were involved in the initial investigation that led to the Memorandum of Understanding with the Oregon Department of Corrections. What did you uncover in the Behavioral Health Unit at the prison during that investigation?
Well, to begin with, the unit represents an idea that we fully support. It was, as I said, designed to increase the clinical assistance and support that was available to these severely mentally ill individuals. However, what we found was that conditions in the unit, for a number of reasons, had devolved into a truly unacceptable situation in which there were many problems, the largest of which was that the inmates in this unit were confined to their cells for over 23 hours a day in most instances, and some never came out for weeks or months at a time, other than to take a shower, and rarely, if ever, for that. In addition, the unit had become dominated by security concerns to an extent that the clinical folks no longer had a significant voice in decisions about how the unit was run and how the behavior of the inmates was dealt with or addressed. This resulted in a lot of violent and gut-wrenching cell extractions in which teams of five or six heavily armored correctional officers with a plastic shield and mace or a taser would order an inmate to cuff up, meaning to back himself up to the tiny opening in front of his cell and submit to being handcuffed. This usually occurred when inmates were completely dysregulated and psychotic. So when they refused to do this, the team of correctional officers would open the door and either spray or taser the individual and then knock him to the ground and subdue him and make him do whatever it was that he had refused to do that led to the incident.
So the Department of Corrections in 2016 signed a memorandum of understanding agreeing to do what?
Basically, the guts of the agreement were that over the course of the 4 years of the agreement, that the Department of Corrections in the Behavioral Health Unit would take the steps that we collaboratively decided would help them reach the goal of the agreement, which was to reach an average of 20 hours of time out of cell for the individuals in the unit.
And then this past year, you continue to monitor the progress in the prison to improve conditions. What were your findings during the past year?
A number of things improved tremendously. The use of force was reduced significantly, as were the incidents of self-harm, which had been a horrible problem in the past, and suicide watches, again, a serious problem in the unit. On the negative side of the ledger, we found that progress toward the 20 hours per week goal was minimal. The current average per week for inmates in the BHU is about between 4 and 5 hours a week out of cell, so it's far short of the 20 hours that's envisioned.
And why is this so important to have more out-of-cell time for seriously mentally ill prisoners or any prisoners?
It's generally well established now by a number of researchers that this kind of extreme isolation can actually cause mental illness, particularly in adolescents and children, but it can cause mental illness in healthy individuals. And it's very clear that in addition, individuals who already are impacted by serious mental illness are very likely to become psychotic and decompensate even further because of isolation. It's important for people who have serious mental illness to learn social skills, to learn skills of regulation, and to be in contact with other human beings. Absent those things, their behavior is likely to become more dangerous, certainly worse for their mental health. And those two things mean that the safety of the people housed in the BHU and the correctional officers and clinicians who work there are all put in danger.
And what was ODOC's reason for this failure to increase the out-of-cell time for these prisoners?
I won't speak for ODOC other than to say I think ODOC and DRO agree that the facility itself is very inadequate for the task. There is a new facility that's being constructed, and they are hoping that when the new building, which is to begin construction and shortly, is online, that they will do much better toward reaching the goal.
Joel, your report indicates that there is a power struggle between the clinical staff and the security staff in the prison behavioral health unit.
Understandably, correctional folks have a primary concern with security. And one of the ways they believe security is fostered is by making sure that there's a consequence for misbehavior and rule infractions. So their response to poor behavior by folks who really have very little ability to regulate that behavior is punishment. That's an understandable perspective, but it's not one that fits very well with the goals of the unit, which are to temper that kind of response with clinical knowledge and a clinical approach, which would be more involved with reinforcing positive behavior rather than punishing negative behavior. And it's our opinion that at this point, the security perspective has become overly dominant in the unit to the detriment of the staff, the prisoners who live there, and the clinicians. And the way this translates in a particular day, according to clinicians who've talked to us, is the security people have an incredible amount of power in that they control when doors open and close throughout the institution. This means that a clinician who is not favorably viewed by a particular correctional officer could end up waiting between two locked doors for long periods of time. And the way this plays out is that a clinician who wants to see a particular client can spend 20, 30, and even 60 minutes waiting between two locked gates or doors, trying to get from one building to another to have access to her patients. This results in much less clinical support for the patients than is planned or is necessary for them, and poor safety for patients, clinicians, and the security staff who work in the unit.
And your report also states that there is a disproportionate high frequency of disciplinary referrals against prisoners by the behavioral health unit security team.
We believe that part of the struggle between the clinical and security perspectives is that the security folks are using various tools at their disposal to punish poorly behaving inmates in the BHU. One of the primary ones that they're using is 24, 48, and 72-hour sell-ins, which means that despite the goal of trying to reach 20 hours a week, they're selling these folks in for up to 3 days at a time for things such as disrespect.
So this is 1 year after the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding, and people with mental illness are still experiencing solitary confinement at the Oregon State Penitentiary. At what point would Disability Rights Oregon take legal action against the Oregon Department of Corrections?
That is not our preferred solution. That's why we signed the Memorandum of Understanding. But at some point, if it becomes clear to us that progress is not adequate and that the goal is not going to be reached in any foreseeable and reasonable amount of time, we would reconsider the advisability of legal action.
So what does Disability Rights Oregon recommend to the Department of Corrections at this time?
Our primary recommendation is that they address the imbalance of power, whether they acknowledge it or not, by including the clinical staff and clinical unit leaders in the hiring process to make sure that security officers who work in the unit have some understanding of the clinical perspective and the need to treat these folks rather than punish them whenever they misbehave.
And Joel, where can people find the DRO report behind the 11th door 1 year later?
That report and the original report, which we produced about a year ago, is on our website, droregon.org.
I've been speaking with Disability Rights Oregon attorney Joel Greenberg. For KBOO News, I'm Karen James.